Welcome to New Life Assembly of God's Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and hope that you will be blessed by this message.
If you'll take your scriptures, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 6 through 7. We're continuing our Wednesday evening series, Anxious for Nothing, and tonight's message is titled, Rejoice in God's Goodness. Rejoice in God's Goodness. William Marshall, in Eternity Shut in a Span, tells the story of a woman who for years had been having problems sleeping because she was afraid that a burglar was going to break into her house. So it troubled her sleep for years. And then one night, her husband heard a noise in the house. And he went down to investigate, and guess what? He found a burglar in the house. So he said, "Good evening. I'm pleased to see you. Would you come upstairs and meet my wife? She's been waiting to meet you for 10 years now." It'll catch up with some of you in a moment, but we are a lot like this woman, aren't we? We spend so much time worrying. And you know what worry is? Worry is an eager expectation that something bad is going to happen. An eager expectation that something bad is going to happen. Faith is a hope or an eager expectation that God will do good things in our life. Now, do you want to worry or do you want to have faith? Amen. And because these two things are actually opposite, that's why faith and worry can't occupy the same space. They can't occupy the same heart. They can't occupy the same mind. They can't occupy the same spirit because they are opposed to one another. And you know what? All of us worry from time to time, don't we? We all struggle with worry. One author so aptly writes, "For many, anxiety is an ever-present uninvited guest." Uninvited because we really don't want to worry, but it just starts to infiltrate our thinking, right? He goes on to say, "It seems to be rampaging through society like a non-contagious cognitive plague, forming a low-level hum that hides in the corners of our collective minds," meaning that those worries, they're always there in the background gnawing at us. And because all of us struggle with worry, and because worry is that ever-present uninvited guest, thankfully God is not silent about the problem of worry or anxiety that affects all of us. Throughout his word, he addresses this issue many, many times. And in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, he gives us the remedy for anxiety. Read with me, if you will, Philippians chapter 4. We're going to actually begin in verse 4, verses 4 through 7. "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And this is our second message in the series, Anxious for Nothing. And last week, we actually looked at the command to be anxious for nothing. It's a command. That means that we have the responsibility to obey it, and we have the ability to choose to obey it. Amen? Because it's a command. And if you missed last week's message, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it online. But we talked about how we can obey the command to be anxious for nothing and how we can find peace by focusing on God's promise, God's power, and God's purpose in our life. So go back and listen to that message if you missed it. Today, we're going to be looking at a different command in this passage of scripture, and the command is to rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice even when everything is falling apart. Rejoice. What does that mean? And how does rejoicing enable us to overcome anxiety and have peace, the peace of God? Now, rejoicing is actually the central theme of the entire book of Philippians. And it's really amazing when you think about the fact that this letter that Paul has written about rejoicing is actually being written in prison while Paul is facing possible execution for preaching the gospel. And in those circumstances, he tells us to rejoice, and he is rejoicing. He says that even in the most difficult of circumstances, where he would rightfully be filled with anxiety, instead, his soul is filled with joy, and he commands believers to always be full of joy in the Lord. And again, he says, I'll say it, rejoice. When are we to rejoice? Always. He says, always be full of joy. And again, I say rejoice. So we are to rejoice always, not just when everything is going good, not just when we're on top of the mountain in victory. It's easy to rejoice when that's going on, right? But he says, always. This means that in all circumstances, we can have joy, just like Paul had joy in prison. And the command to rejoice is Paul's prescription for anxiety. Paul is saying, if you want to conquer anxiety, you must choose to rejoice. In fact, he repeats the commands twice. The command here twice. He says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I'll say it again, rejoice. Because you know what he's saying? I know this is going to be hard for you to get a hold of, so I'm going to say it twice for you so that you'll really listen. And as you hear this, you might be saying, preacher, you have no idea what I'm going through. You're crazy to ask me to rejoice. But notice, Paul didn't say rejoice in your circumstances. He said rejoice in the Lord. Paul didn't tell us to be happy. He told us to be full of joy in the Lord. And there's a difference. There's a difference between happiness and joy. The word happiness is from the same root word for happenings. And when we look at happiness, happiness depends on what happens to us. Okay? You could get a brand new Lexus. Or BMW, or I don't know what other popular expensive luxury car there is nowadays. But say you get one, somebody gifts it to you, and you're all happy. And then you drive out onto I-95 in wonderful South Florida traffic, and somebody hits right into you. Not so happy anymore, right? Why? Because happiness depends on your circumstances. It depends on what happens to us. So happiness is a temporary emotion that is based on our happenings, on our circumstances. When our circumstances are good, happiness results. But in a flash, our circumstances can change. And then what happens to our happiness? It's gone. But joy comes from trusting God. Joy is a deep, settled inner sense of well-being that no matter what we may be going through, God loves us, God is with us, God is in the heavens, He is in control of everything, and He is working on our behalf. Amen? Amen. Focusing on our happenings to make us happy is what makes us anxious because we worry about all the things that could happen to our happiness to make us unhappy. And so we worry because our circumstances are constantly changing. But Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord, and rejoicing in the Lord enables us to live an anxiety-free life where the peace of God rules in our heart and mind. So how do we do that? How do we rejoice in the Lord in all circumstances? And what does being full of the joy of the Lord look like in day-to-day life? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. First of all, freedom from anxiety comes from making the choice to rejoice. We have to make the choice to rejoice. And rejoice is a command that requires a decision to obey. It requires a decision to obey. If God commands us to do something, we have to decide to obey. One writer states, Philippians is the most joyful book in the Bible. Paul uses the word joy and rejoicing 16 times in 104 verses. The most joyous book. And again, he's writing this from prison. He's writing from a dingy Roman prison, a place where we would typically associate with misery and suffering. He's facing a death sentence, a possibility of a death sentence, which under normal circumstances would fill our minds with worry and anxiety. He's in a place that everything spells the opposite of joy. He is surrounded by every conceivable obstacle to joy. And yet he's rejoicing. How can he be full of such joy? Because he made a choice to rejoice. And you might think, what? I'm supposed to be happy about the bad things happening in my life. How can I rejoice in the circumstances of what I'm going through right now? My marriage is falling apart. I can't pay my bills. The doctor just gave me a bad diagnosis. Whatever it might be. How can I rejoice in those circumstances? But again, joy does not depend on our circumstances. It is a choice to trust God. It is a choice to trust God. Max Lucado writes, this verse is a call, not to a feeling, but to a decision and a deeply rooted confidence that God exists, that he is in control, and that he is good. That he is good. So I want you to notice something. Paul doesn't command us to feel joyful. He commands us to rejoice. He commands us to rejoice. Rejoicing is an attitude and it's an action, not a feeling. We don't have control over our feelings, but we do have control over our actions and attitude. So you can't command a feeling. We feel what we feel, right? We're going through something, we feel what we feel. And even as Christians, there's times when we feel sad or discouraged or downcast. And it doesn't do good to tell somebody that's feeling sad or downcast or whatever, oh, don't feel that way. How can you tell somebody don't feel that way? That's what they're feeling. And you feel what you feel. So you can't command a person not to feel what they feel, but you can command them to change their attitude and their actions. All right? Paul commands us to rejoice always. And that means that even when we don't feel like it, you might say, well, you know what, Pastor, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And if I don't feel like joyful, then I would be a hypocrite to rejoice. We do stuff all the time we don't feel like doing. Right. Amen. We go to work every day, even though we don't feel like going to work. But we got to earn that green to pay the bills. So we don't worry in the morning and get up and say, you know what, I don't really feel like going to work and I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I'm not going to go in today. No, you go. We exercise when we don't feel like it, or at least we should. Because we know we need to do it for our health. You know, I exercise every morning. I do about 30 minutes on a recumbent bike. And lately, you know, I've had some very long days. Some nights I'm up most of the night with my mother because for some of you that don't know, my mother is in hospice and she's in the last stages of her life and she has some difficult times. And so I'm up most of the night. Sometimes I'm running on 2 hours worth of sleep. And I wake up in the morning, 6:30, to do my prayers and what have you and get about my day. And I need to exercise, and I don't feel like exercising. But you know what? I do it anyhow, because I know I need to do it for my health. And I don't sit there and worry when I'm on the recumbent bike, oh, I'm such a hypocrite, because I really don't feel like exercising today, but here I am. No, we do what we need to do, because we know it's the right thing to do, right? And so the same is true in regard to rejoicing in the Lord. We must not allow our feelings to control us. Joy is not an emotion. It is an attitude and it's an action. And we can choose our attitude and we can choose our actions. Amen? We can choose our attitude. We can choose to get up in the morning and be all grumpy and complain about everything. Or we can choose to look for the good of what God is doing in our life. And we can choose our actions. We can choose to complain, or we can choose to say, thank you, God. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your blessings. So we can choose to make rejoicing in the Lord a lifestyle. Rejoice is a choice to find our joy in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord doesn't mean that we deny what's going on in our life or that we plaster a fake smile on our face. It means rather that we choose to trust God. And when we choose to trust in God, we can look to the future with hope rather than worry. Because we know that the future is in the hands of God. And we know that he loves us, that he has promised to take care of us. We know that he has promised that he's working in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen. And that's why in 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul is able to write that for the sake of the gospel, he was willing to suffer all the things that he endured, saying, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. And if we've committed our whole life to him, then we know that he is able to keep us and everything that pertains to us. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. So we choose to trust that God loves us, that he is in control, that he's working in our life. We choose to trust the scripture. You see, the enemy is quick to assault our mind with negative thoughts. And oftentimes we believe the enemy's lies above the word of God. Come on now. We believe the enemy's lies above the word of God. He assaults our mind with negative thoughts and an endless bombardment of what ifs. What if that happens? What if that happens? What if that happens? And your mind is just running over and over with all the possible worst case scenarios. We need to guard our heart and mind by focusing on the word of God. One writer states, trusting God is more than a feeling. It's a choice to have faith in what he says, even when our feelings and our circumstances would have us believe something different. Hallelujah. The Bible says that God cannot lie. He always keeps his promises. He loves you. He has good things in store for you to give you a hope and a future. And trusting in him means believing what he says about himself, what he says about the world, and what he says about you. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. When we focus on what God has said in his word, it gives us hope and it fuels our joy. Circumstances are constantly changing. But God's word never changes, so we can rejoice always. Hallelujah. And we need to choose to be content in our circumstances. Choose to be content in our circumstances. Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, Paul writes, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. See, we're not to look at our circumstances, our bank balance, our health, our friends, the economy, or anything else for contentment. Those things cannot give us contentment. We're to look to Jesus. If we have him, we have everything that we need. So being joyful doesn't depend on our circumstances. It comes from our relationship with Christ as we trust in him. He is all that we need. When we are alone, he is a brother that sticks closer than a friend, or a friend that sticks closer than a brother, excuse me. When we're sad and hurting, he's our comforter. When we are sick, he is our healer, the great physician. When we can't pay our bills, he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. When we don't know what to do, he is the only wise God who has promised to give us wisdom freely, to direct our steps and to guide us. When we are weak and we feel like we can't go on, he is our strength. All that we need is found in him. And when we have him, we have everything that we need. And that's why we can rejoice always. So to rejoice is a choice. And then freedom from anxiety comes from celebrating the goodness of God. Celebrating the goodness of God. Look for the goodness of God in your life. When we are going through difficult times, it can be hard to see beyond what we're going through to the good things that God is doing. You know, our problems and trials can be like a big cloud that blocks the sun, right? The sun is still there, but you can't see it because of the clouds. And sometimes the goodness of God is there, but we can't see it because of the problems that we're facing. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? But Psalm 23:6 promises, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. You see, his goodness and his love is there all the days of our life, even on the worst days of our life when we can't see it. God guarantees that his goodness will follow us every single day, whatever we're going through. We just need to learn to look for his goodness in every aspect of our lives. Right now, as I mentioned earlier, it's a very difficult time for me with my mother's condition. And, you know, it's very hard to watch her suffering the way that she's suffering. And many times she sits there moaning and asks me, why would God want me to go through this? Why doesn't he just take me? I want him to take me. I want to go see your father. I want to go see your brother. And I have no answer for her except to tell her, Mom, you're in his hands. It's in his time. But it breaks my heart to see her go through what she's going through. And if I'm not careful, I can allow that to consume me. But I have to look for the good of what God is doing. For one thing, we have several nurses' aides, and almost every one of them is a Christian. And I've seen them at times and overheard them while I'm working in my home office praying for my mother. One of them is even Pentecostal. She was praying in tongues the other day over my mother. And a couple weeks ago, the lady that was taking care of my mother on Mondays had a family emergency, so she couldn't take care of her anymore. So the nurse's agency called me and said, we're looking for somebody else, you know, what have you. And so they sent somebody else. She said, this is going to be your Monday person. And when the Monday person came, I met her and talked with her a little bit. And the Jamaicans say, my spirit just didn't take her. You know what you're saying? You know, there's just something in the spirit that it just didn't jive with her, you know? But I said, well, Lord, you know, I'm putting it in your hands. You know, I'm not comfortable with this, but it's in your hands. Well, by the end of the week, the nurse's agencies called me and said, we're going to be sending you somebody different. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything to them. I just said it to God, right? Because the lady that was coming on Monday, she called her name. She's not going to be coming back to you anymore. And I'm like, hallelujah. I prayed her right out of the house because something was just not right with her spirit. And so a new lady came this week, and praise God, she's a Christian. You know, and then there was one other person that came on a Wednesday night because I have to have someone sit with my mother on Wednesday nights. And I shared it before in the service and on Facebook. But the first Wednesday night that she was there, you know, I explained to her, you know, I'm going to church, I'm a pastor, blah, blah, blah. So when I came back after church, she said, you know, whatever made you want to become a pastor? So I started to share my entire salvation testimony with her and what God has done in my life and how he healed me of cancer and all of these things. And she was just there, just listening. And so I talked to her about how, you know, I was raised Catholic, but we had religion. And then I met Jesus when I was 11, and it was so different because now I had a relationship with Jesus. And she looked at me and she said, how can you have a relationship with Jesus? That's all I needed. And so then I started to tell her, you know, we've all sinned and sin cut us off from God. And I put the whole salvation plan to her. And then I said to her, I said, would you like to pray and ask Jesus into your heart so you can have a relationship with God? And by this time, you know, little tears were welling up in her eyes. And she said, yes, I'd like to pray with you. And so I led her in the sinner's prayer. Amen. Praise God. And then Wednesday night before last, when I was getting ready to leave for church, she said to me, she said, you know, I found you on YouTube. And I've been listening to you, and I like the way you talk about God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I didn't tell her about YouTube. I didn't push anything on her, but the Holy Spirit's dealing with her heart, you know. So I just see the goodness of God at work, even in the midst of the circumstances with the people that God has brought to us. I mean, there's one dear lady that comes to my mom. She calls mom mama, and she says, I feel so much like she's my own mother, you know. And just wonderful people that really care about my mother. They're Christian. And if they're not Christian, they're getting saved. Amen. So God is working even in the midst of it. So I can choose to look at all the negative of what's going on and be consumed by depression and worry and anxiety, or I can choose to say, God, I see you working even in the midst of these circumstances. We have to make that choice. Amen. One author writes, you will always find what you're looking for. Think about the difference between two birds, a vulture and a hummingbird. Vultures soar high in the sky, looking and searching always. And what does the vulture find? Dead things, rotting things, roadkill. Because that's what they're looking for. That's what they feed on. Amen. Contrast the vulture to the tiny little hummingbird with wings flapping 20 beats a second, flying low. And what does this small bird find? Not dead and disgusting rotting things, but instead sweet life-giving nectars. Daily each bird finds what it's looking for, and the same is true for you. You can be on a roadkill diet, or you can be on a nectar diet every day. It's up to you, because you will find what you search for. If you want to find things to be negative about or to worry about, that's not hard to do. You'll find what you're looking for. If you plan to be critical, you don't have to look very far to find fault. Amen? When somebody has a critical spirit, they can find fault with everything. Amen? If you choose to be negative, you'll easily accomplish your goal. But if you want to see the good in life, you can find it everywhere. If you choose to watch for places that God is working, you will see His loving presence each place you look. If you decide to look for hope, faith, and a better future, you will discover these positive things and more countless times a day. Hallelujah. So train yourself to look for the goodness of God in your life, to see how He's working even in the midst of the difficult and painful circumstances. You know, this past week, the nurse from the long-term care nursing agency came to check up on my mom. And my mom is on 24/7 oxygen, and she was at 3 liters. And at 3 liters, she was generally around 95% oxygen saturation. A healthy person is generally at 98%. And for the longest time, for the last 3-4 months, she was at 3 liters of oxygen. And when the nurse came to check her a week and a half ago, she checked her oxygen level, and it was around 86 to 88% at 3 liters of oxygen. And so she said, "You're going to have to turn the machine up to the maximum, which is 5 liters of oxygen." And so I turned it up to the maximum, and she checked it again, and it was still in the low 90s, 91, 92. And so she said, "You have to leave her now on 5 liters of oxygen." And so I left her on that. The hospice nurse came a few days later, and I told her what had happened, and she checked mom's oxygen level, and on 5 liters of oxygen, she was still in the low 90s. And after taking her vitals, the nurse called me out of the room, and she said to me, "You know what this means, don't you?" And so I said, "Yes, I'm pretty sure I do." She says, "There's not much time left, so you need to prepare yourself, you know." And then, of course, they sent a social worker to the house. And the social worker talked to me and asked me, she said, "Have you made funeral preparations?" And I said, "Yes, I've already been working on it because I want to do my mother's funeral. That's what she's asked for. And I want to honor her with that, no matter how difficult it will be for me. And so I've already been working on the message and the program and everything like that." And as I was talking to the social worker, I told her, I said, "Yes, I've been making funeral preparations." I said, "Because you see, I'm a pastor." She said, "Oh, you are?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "You know, my father was a pastor. And I got to minister to her because she's kind of been backslidden. And I got to minister to her at that moment. And so I see the goodness of God, even in some of the most difficult circumstances. I see His grace of how He's working. I saw it when I underwent major surgery in 2016. Many of you know my testimony. But after having major surgery in 2016, I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. And praise God, He's healed me. And I've been pronounced cured by the doctors after 5 years. But Jesus already pronounced me healed 2,000 years ago. Amen. But I could see God's hand even then working in so many ways. I remember after my surgery, the surgeon came out to tell me the results and everything like that. And she said, "Oh," she said, "I didn't know that you're somewhat of a local celebrity." And I said, "What? What do you mean?" She said, "Well, several of the nurses in the operating room said they know you. They've been to your church. You're a pastor." And you know what? I had prayed for the operating room team. I prayed that God would anoint them. I pray that God would give them supernatural wisdom and skill to do what they are appointed to do. And I pray that even when people in the church are undergoing surgery, I pray that for them. But I had prayed for the operating room team. And when the surgeon said that to me, it was as if God was saying to me, see, I was in there with you. I surrounded you with believers, even in the operating room. And it was like such an assurance of God. And then the following day when the nurse came to get me, now you have to understand all of my core muscles were cut from my pelvic bone almost all the way up to my breastbone. So they told me it was going to be extremely painful to get up, to walk, to do any of those things. So the next day the nurse comes into the room and she says, you have to get up. And I have a high pain tolerance. But when she went to move me with morphine, the pain was excruciating. And I just cried out, Jesus! And she immediately said, you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. And I knew right then and there again that God was saying, I am right here with you. Hallelujah. I could share so many other things with you, but I just want you to see how you can look and see the goodness of God no matter what you're going through. Amen. Because he will be there with you. Hallelujah. And you will see what you're looking for. So train yourself to look for the goodness of God in every circumstance of your life. And then give God thanks in everything. Isn't that what Paul tells us? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything and give God thanks in everything. Verse 6 tells us that the way to overcome anxiety and experience God's peace is to be thankful to God for everything. Because giving thanks defeats the lies of the enemy that tries to get us to be in despair and to feel as though everything in our life is horrible and that God has forgotten us, that God has abandoned us. But even in the most painful circumstances, God is present with us. All we need to do is look and we will see his goodness. And when we see his goodness, we need to give him thanks. Amen. Hallelujah. When we give thanks for what he has done, we are reminding ourselves in the present of how faithful God has been. So even if we can't see him at this moment, look back and see how faithful he has been to you over the past. Amen? And give thanks to him because it will remind you of his faithfulness. We are reminding ourselves that God has always been there, that he will always come through for us, that he has never left us and he has never forsaken us. When we give thanks, we're remembering all that God has done for us, and it strengthens our faith in the present. It quiets our fears and our anxieties so that we can experience his all-surpassing peace. One day, the famed preacher was walking with a troubled man who expressed his doubt to the goodness of God. And John Wesley said, I do not know what I shall do. Oh, the man said, excuse me, I do not know what I shall do with all this worry and trouble. At the same moment, John Wesley saw a cow looking over a stone wall. Do you know, said Wesley, why that cow is looking over the wall? No, the worried man said. Wesley responded, the cow is looking over the wall because he can't see through it. And that's what you need to do with your wall of trouble. You need to look over it. Faith enables us to look over our circumstances and focus on God. Amen. Look over our circumstance and focus. And that's how we conquer anxiety. That's how we experience the peace of God. The first step to having peace is placing our faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you've not yet done that, I want to encourage you to pray with me right now. If you've not yet given your heart to Christ, you may be listening online. You are not here by accident. God loves you. That's the reason that you were drawn to this video. I want you to pray with me. If you've not yet given your heart to Christ, or maybe you did so many years ago and you've drifted away and you need to come back to the Lord, would you just pray this simple prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I repent. I turn away from my sin, and I turn to you in faith. I confess that I'm a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I invite you to come live inside of me. Help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life. And I want to ask you right now, for those of you online, just type "I prayed" in the comments. A little bit later, we will send you a response message with a link. Click on that link, fill in your name and email address, because we want to send you free of charge a little booklet to help you understand the prayer you just prayed and the next steps that you need to take to keep growing in your relationship with the Lord, because that prayer was not an ending. It was a beginning of a lifelong journey with the Lord. So just type "I prayed" and we'll get back with you with a response, and just click on the link when we do and fill in your name and email address so that we can send you free of charge this little booklet. For all of us who have already placed our faith in Christ, let's commit to make the choice to rejoice in the Lord, trusting Him, trusting His word, and choosing to be content with where He has us in life right now. Let's choose to celebrate the goodness of God rather than focusing on the negative things that are happening or negative thoughts. And let's develop the habit of looking for the goodness of God even in bad circumstance and giving thanks to the Lord. That's what will enable us to experience His peace and conquer anxiety. So if you're worried right now, if you're anxious, would you just make that commitment right now? That you're going to choose to rejoice, and you're going to choose to develop the habit of looking for the goodness of God, even in the worst circumstance, and giving Him thanks for His goodness. Bow your heads with me. You talk to God from your own heart. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You love us, and You don't want us to be racked by worry and anxiety, because it steals our joy. It brings depression. Lord, I pray right now that as we humble ourselves before Your word, that we would not be hearers of Your word only, but that we would be doers, that we would put into practice the truth of what we have learned tonight, Lord God, and that we would make a choice to rejoice in all circumstances. Because we are not rejoicing in our circumstance. We are rejoicing in You, in who You are, in Your faithfulness, in Your goodness, in Your love towards us, Lord God, in the fact that You sit upon the throne and You are in control of all things. Let us make that choice every day to rejoice in You. And Father, I pray that You would help us to develop the habit of seeing Your goodness even in the worst of circumstances and giving You thanks for everything You've done for us in the past and for the way that You are working even in this present moment in the worst trials of our life. Father, we thank You for Your love, for Your mercy, for Your grace, and for Your faithfulness. Now, as we fix our minds upon You, let Your peace that passes all understanding fill the hearts of Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We love you, New Life. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Go in the grace and peace of the Lord and be blessed. Have a wonderful...
Thank you for joining us today. If you are blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. Thank you so much, and we hope you will join us again. God bless you.